This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. We're honored to be here with you. We greet all you listeners who's listening right now to this radio program, Raising the Standard, and we've called it that for 21 plus years with WCNO. It's an honor to be here with them and what they're doing for the Treasure Coast, and so we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. It's a privilege to share the Word of God, and sometimes you wonder, God, what do you want us to say? But, you know, He always leads, and if we just ask Him, the Holy Ghost will lead us to say the right things, what wants to be said at a particular time. And so we just thank God for that. So we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour, as we mentioned. And if you can't, we do have CDs available. And all we ask for is a love offering. And I'll have Donna give you the number a moment. And all you have to do is whatever the Lord shows you to give, make out a check to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. And she'll give you the address where to mail it. And we'll be glad to send the CD out to you. And we asked last week also for people to consider, you know, the financial situations. This program's not free. We have to pay for it every week. And we ask if somebody would be willing to pay 1 week. That's $165. That would be a great help to us. Or even half of a program, right? $82.50 would be great. So,
or a third of a program.
Or a third, whatever, you know. Just to help us out, and so, because it's not free, we know that. But anyway, whatever you give to God, remember, He'll always return it somehow. I think about all the years now that you and I have given things to the kingdom of God, mainly in that heavenly account. And for some reason, it might go dormant, it seems like, for a while, but all of a sudden, a need that you have, and all of a sudden, He's going to return that to you. And He always does. He will bless us in everything that we do. So if you do that with your offerings and your tithes and whatever to your churches, what happens? You're going to be blessed abundantly. And so God wants us to know that. So we're honored to be here with you. Pastor Donna, you go ahead and share what you wanted to. Give them the address where to mail if they want to send in a check for the program or to share a program or if they want a CD or whatever, okay?
Amen. Well, first I want to say hello. Everyone, and say hello to Roscoe and Audrey on Andros Island.
Yeah. Hello.
And the Temple of God people over there on Andros Island. We just bless you, and we thank the Lord for you and for the building that's going to be finished pretty soon, Lord willing. Amen. We also need finances for the Temple of God on Andros Island.
Andros Island, right.
So, because they're trying to finish this building, and it's absolutely going to be beautiful and strong. Strong like they are, strong in the Lord, good foundation set upon the apostle and the prophet. Amen.
And they don't owe anybody any money. Isn't that wonderful?
No, that's right.
They're doing it as the money comes in, they're taking care of it. They're not getting in debt or anything. So
that's right.
Praise God for that.
Well, stay tuned, because after I share a little bit, we're going to go into John chapter 6, which is a very powerful chapter. And I think that you will be touched, and I think that you will get some deeper understanding of some of the things that Jesus said.
That's right.
Amen. So if you'd like to send an offering, you can send it to Post Office Spirit of Prophecy, Post Office Box 413, Stuart, Florida 34995. That's Post Office Box 413, Stuart, Florida 34995. Or you can give us a call at area code 772-285-7007. And we'll mention this again later on in the program. Also, I wanted to mention that we do have Shabbat service this afternoon at 2 p.m. That's Saturday at 2 p.m. at the Alliance Church on Osceola Boulevard, 445 Southeast, is it? Osceola Boulevard. That's right near the hospital in Stuart. Amen. So, Pastor Gene, and we have Margie is here.
Sister Margie Sweeney's with us today. We're honored to have her here with us too.
And so
she always has a timely word for you listeners.
We want to say hello to all those that listen. And of course, this is being recorded on Friday, so some people will be able to see it Friday, but it will be on the radio, and also it'll be still on Facebook. It'll be on the radio on Saturday at 12 noon, so you can listen to it on WCNO and pray about it, because you know this radio station goes around the world. Right now we're 24/7 around the world. So that's one great thing about being on the internet and being on Facebook. So pray that you enjoy it and that you get great revelation from this teaching. Amen.
Amen. Now I was thinking about Roscoe and Audrey, the apostle and prophet over on Andros Island. You know, we've never done this with them, but the next time they come over to visit their family and all, we're going to have them on this radio program. We talk about them so much. And I tell you, they've got so much to say. I mean, I think of Roscoe. I mean,
amen. Glory to God.
He's flowing. I mean, it's just pouring out of him.
Amen.
And the glory of God. And so, and Audrey as well. And so we'd like to have them on. They got so much to share. And so we'll have them with us sometime.
Amen.
When they get over here. So we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. Like we said, if you can't, we do offer the CD. So we're going to talk a little bit in John chapter 6. But the Lord quickened me this morning when I started reading. I want to back up into John chapter 5. And read a few verses to set us up for chapter 6, okay?
Okay, and I want to let them know if they're, the Facebook page is, if you're listening to us on the radio and you'd like to go join our Facebook page, it would be Gene, G-E-N-E, dash, no spaces, Donna, D-O-N-N-A, then a space, and the last name is Healton, H-E-A-L-T-O-N. And you can go there and you can see this radio program and others that we have done in the past. Amen?
Amen. So chapter 5 of John. If you're at home and you got your Bible, open it up and you can follow along with us. We're reading out of the King James Version. Please don't do this if you're driving your car, though, to try to lay it up on the dash or anything. Follow along. So just listen and you can get a CD. I'm going to go to John 5 and I want to start in verse 39. Remember, our master, Yeshua, was talking to his people, the Jewish people here. And so look at what he told them in verse 39. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. So it's not the scriptures, is it? It's him, but it points everything to him. Now verse 40, and ye will not come to me that you might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you that ye have not the love of God in you. Boy, that's bad, isn't it, thinking about that. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in it in his own name, him ye will receive. We got this going all over the world, people claiming to be the Messiah, you know. Verse 44, how can you believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe me not his writings, but if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? Because he quoted all the time. Now we go into chapter 6. And I you know, this is a long chapter. We're not going to read everything. It's got 71 verses. But I want you to notice verse 4. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. Now this happens to be the second Passover that Yeshua attended before his death. And so we go into chapter 7, we find out the Feast of Tabernacles. So between 6 and 7, we've gone, what, 6 months on the Jewish calendar. And then after Tabernacles, then we head to spring again, don't we? So this next Passover after this one was the last one. This is when you'll have his, the Last Supper with his disciples and all that. So I just want to know the, let you know the time of the season. Now we know there's a great miracle here with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and all these people were fed. And one thing that caught me was verse 12. When they were filled, that means all of them, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. And so there was a lot of people, over, what was it, say, 5,000 men ate. That was just the men. Didn't include the women and children. But it was 12 baskets. And I always thought about this. You know, God's purpose was that Israel would be the ones that would come in first. You know that prophetic word that we use all the time? It's right in the Bible. He says the first will be last, the last will be first. Well, we know the Jews are going to come in last. And I always think about the 12 baskets. Could these represent the 12 tribes of Israel that's going to have the scraps, basically, or the remnant at the end, that, so nothing will be lost? He says that nothing be lost. Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves. So, and 5 happens to be an important number in the Bible, too. But the 12 is an important number.
That's a number for government
as
well.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And that's the number of disciples that he had.
That's right.
And that's the number of the
patriarchs. Patriot? 12 of them.
That's right.
That's right. 12 disciples. You know, it's everything. God repeats over and over, you know, because we're in the last days, and even more things will be revealed. Now, we're going to go over. I'm not going to read all this. But anyway, that was a tremendous miracle. And it shows the next day that he went across the sea, and they couldn't understand how it happened, but we're not going to get into that. But we go to verse 25. And when they had found him on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? And Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles. See, they weren't looking at the miracles. Listen to what he says. But because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. And so we're talking about what? A spiritual thing versus what? A physical thing.
Yes.
And he's going to tell them what's important about eating, and it's not food.
And you know what's interesting too is they must have had a little bit of faith. Because if you look in verse 9, it says, there was a lad which had 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, but what are they among so many? And so what were they doing? They were telling Jesus, hey, there's a kid over there that has this, you know, has these barley loaves and these 2 fishes. So, you know, so that gave that opportunity. They were thinking about this kid, but how are we going to feed all these people with
this
small
amount of food? That was a big question. How are we going to do it?
Right. But they had a little bit of, they must have had some faith that know that Jesus could do something like that and make the miracle happen.
Yeah.
And the other thing that they said, well, they can sit down and they can have a little bit. They can all have a little bit. But what you just read,
had their fill.
They were full. They were full. They had plenty of fish and plenty of bread, and there was yet some left over. So God always gives an abundance. I think, you know, what he says. He says he'll give you things in abundantly.
So those fish must have been jumping in the basket. You know, they were feeding them. Now look at verse 27 here in chapter 6. Jesus says, labor not for the meat which perisheth. So we're separating what? The natural things from the spiritual things. But for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. You know, it's interesting. Sometimes the Bible says the Son of Man and the Son of God. Well, he was both, wasn't he? He was born of a woman, so he was a Son of Man, but he was also born because of the Spirit of God that came upon Mary. So he's the Son of God, and he's also what? The
Son of Man.
So then verse 28, then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, listen to this now, this is the work of God, that you believe on me whom he hath sent. Isn't that powerful? They said therefore unto him, what signs showest thou them that we may see and believe? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave, what it tells you over there in the Torah, he gave them what? Bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus or Yeshua said unto them, when he says verily, verily, you can mark it down. It's like putting it in the bank. Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Yeshua said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Because we're going to be filled, aren't we, all the time, spiritually. But I said unto you that you also have seen me, and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last, what? The last day. Isn't that something? The last day. Now, you're going to see in this as we read this, he's going to mention the last day four times. Mm. Very important. And I always think about this when I see something with fours. From the time that Adam was on the earth, it's in my commentary if you want it, it's $25 offering and $4 for shipping. We'll give it to you, the pictures of the Messiah. From the time that Adam was on the earth until Yeshua's birth was a period of 4,000 years exactly. So I see this four, you know, and the four is taking us out. He says to the last day. Now let's do something here with this. I'm going to go over to Daniel chapter 12 if you want to go with me. Real quick here. I should have stuck something in my Bible so I could have got there a little quicker for you.
Thank you, Father. Thank you,
but
Father.
I want to read something in Daniel, the very last chapter in Daniel.
Thank you, Lord.
Very powerful things that was said here for us to understand the last days. And we're in, whether you believe it or not, we're in the last days. Last night I watched TV and I saw the governor of New York sign a law into place that you can kill a baby in a mother's womb at any time during the total time of conception and all that, all the way out. The, what is it, 28 weeks?
It's all the way to the
end. All the way to the end.
To the pregnancy.
That's
after.
Right.
And so, even up to birth. Up to birth.
And all those people that signed were jumping up and down and shouting. You know, they don't realize it, but they're shedding innocent blood, and they're going to pay a huge price someday if this doesn't get turned around, the people that are involved with it. It almost makes me sick listening to it. It was so bad that anybody could think that would be okay to destroy a baby.
God's going to judge the nations.
Greatly. Are they going to be judged?
For that, for the blood that's been shed.
That's right. So I keep praying all the time, Lord, somehow that they'll reverse the law that started with Roe versus Wade back in 1973, allowing people to abort a child. And as you see here, as time went on, it got worse, didn't it? Not only when it was smaller, but now all the way out to the very end, they can kill a baby. You know, and they call it, it's just a blob. It's not a blob. It's a baby. It belongs to God. His spirit joined together in that womb to join that sperm and that seed together of the woman to produce a child. That's his. It's not anybody else's.
And it's
not a woman's right to destroy it, or a man's either.
And they don't want to call it a baby. They want to call it a fetus.
A fetus, yeah.
Right. They don't want to make anything where it's a human being, where it's a person.
That's right. So I took you to Daniel chapter 12. I'm going to look at the very last verse in the book of Daniel. Okay. And this gives us a clue, because we know that the angel was speaking to Daniel, showing him all these things. And verse 13 says, but go thou, that's talking about Daniel, thy way till the end be. Now, we see the word be in there. It was added by the translators. But go thou thy way till the end, what? The end be. It was till the end of his life, but also, it could refer also, but it's not, this end is not referring to the end of the days, but it's talking about the end of his life. For thou shalt rest. Rest in the Hebrew is always referring to what? To die and go and rest. And then it says, and stand in thy lot. Standing is talking about a rising, a resurrection. And stand or arise in thy lot when? Now we talk about the end of the days. And we just read over there in John chapter 6 where Yeshua said what? In the last day. So we see all this right here. Now if we go, we're in chapter 12. I want to read the first two verses. At that time shall Michael, remember Michael's the archangel for the nation of Israel, stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to this, that same time, not at any time by thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be what? Found written in the book. I'm going to read that. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. What's this? The Lamb's Book of Life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this is going to be on the last Feast of Trumpets at the very end of time. We won't get into that today, but it's all here with the rest of the scriptures. Verse 2, and many of them that sleep, that means they die, in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to what? Everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting what? Contempt. So it shows us here, this contempt is talking about the second death, total separation from God. So here we have a couple of scriptures revealing some things that Jesus, see, Jesus knew all this was going to happen. This is his word, amen? All right, we're back in chapter 6 now.
See, where I just want to read 41 again.
Go right ahead, honey.
Jesus said, I am the bread which came down from heaven.
What? Right. He is the bread, huh?
He is the bread.
Mm-hmm.
See, the people in the Old Testament, they all died, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
They had manna. But this is, he said, he is the bread of life.
That's right, absolutely.
And everybody murmured, you know.
That's right.
And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? So they're just looking at him as just, you know, regular people.
Right.
Amen. And he came and he said, I came down from heaven. And they're thinking, well, how can this person say they're coming down from heaven?
Because they're all in the natural, you know.
Jesus, therefore, answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. So he was telling them, he knew exactly what they were doing.
That's right.
And he said, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. So it's the Father, it's the Holy Spirit that draws people to come to the
mm-hmm.
Lord. And he says, I will raise them up. And here's your last day again.
Yeah, now this, now think, this
is the third time.
This is the third time the last day is mentioned. It's mentioned in 40, and we read verse 39. It's mentioned in 40 about everlasting life, and this is the third time. Go on, honey. Verse 45, now you're in.
It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me.
That's right.
Amen. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he. Now, I think that's very important. Jesus is the only one that's seen the Father.
Father, that's right.
Save he, which is of God. He's of God, isn't he?
That's
he is
right.
God.
He has seen the Father, right?
He has seen the Father. So that's telling us right
and why?
There.
Why? Because he was always there in the beginning.
That
he was never
was
not there.
He was there in the beginning. That's he right. was there with Jesus even back in the first book of the Bible, Genesis,
right.
when everything was created. He was there.
Mm-hmm.
And so he has seen the Father. Glory to God. Go ahead, Pastor.
Now we have this verily, verily. Better mark it down. Listen up. I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. And then he says, I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. They all died, didn't they? They were eating manna every day.
Yes.
This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is what? My flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Isn't that incredible?
And isn't it interesting that just before this, he fed 5,000 men.
That's right.
Plus, you know, I don't know how many people there were there all together, counting women
and
children.
Women and children was a lot.
But there were a lot. So he did this what you show, an example
right.
Of this miracle. He did this miracle. And then he tells them, because he's going to go on and talk about the bread, and they did not understand that his bread was his flesh.
That's right. So let's look at verse 52 then. It says, the Jews, therefore, strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Now, this must have been a difficult thing. Just think if we were there at that time.
Yeah.
And this had never happened. Can you imagine what would have went through our mind as well? Mm-hmm. You know, this had never happened in history. How could this be that someone came from heaven? Well, it was supernatural. See, they were there, and we're going to read the rest as you'll find out. They were all in the natural realm instead of thinking about the spiritual realm that Yeshua was trying to convey to them. And only those with a spiritual mind could pick this up and understand who understood it. John did.
And how can they eat that flesh?
That's
eat
right.
His bread.
That's
he
right.
is the bread of life.
Yeah. And then verse 53 says, then Jesus or Yeshua said unto them, here we go. Mark it down.
Pay attention.
Verily,
verily,
I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Now think about
it. No, he has something else.
That's right. Now he's talking about blood. So he's talking about something that's going to happen in the near future. Didn't happen the next day or the next week. It was several months away. But he was talking about something that's going to happen in the future, that the disciples especially were going to see him at the Last Supper, and they were going to what? Eat bread, and they were going to drink the juice, and the bread represented his body, and the juice represented what? His blood.
But they looked at the blood, and they knew that God had commanded them not to
eat blood,
to drink blood.
Or drink it.
Right.
So they were thinking about cannibalism, weren't they, right away?
Right, and so they were thinking, this man is crazy.
That's right. Now, verse 54 says, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Here's our fourth time about the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed. You know, they ate all that. You know, he multiplied the fishes and the bread and all. So he says, my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is what? Drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. That's incredible when you think about it. So every time we take communion, you know, in a lot of places we've been, they do it real quickly. It should be something that ought to be really, I think it ought to be in depth and talk about some things and present it. There's so much you could talk about when we take communion, because it represents what Christ came to do for us. And Paul told us in 1 Corinthians 11 that we could do it as often as we like in remembrance of Yeshua until he comes, right?
And the bread is and the blood, that's all of him.
That's all of
it's
him.
It's taken all of him.
That's right.
You know? And so they certainly didn't understand that. You know, they thought that was the wrong thing. They thought, how can this man be of God and say these things?
Yeah,
what they were saying is, you know, he's coming against what the Torah says.
That's right.
Because they didn't understand, like you said, spiritual things. But he was talking about a spiritual thing as he came down from heaven to give his life on that cross. And that what happened? All that blood that was even poured out, even as they walked, even as they went from after he was beaten, you know, and even in the garden, he said he sweat like drops of blood
under his skin.
So
yes.
The blood is in the life, isn't it?
That's right. What the Bible says.
The Bible says, the blood is.
And then you, the Torah, the said you weren't to touch that. You're not to touch it, but you weren't to drink it or eat it. Okay, at all. Mm-hmm. But now he's telling them, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father. In verse 57, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. He's repeating what he said over in verse 49. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? And when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? And they did. They were there in Jerusalem when he left what? The Mount of Olives. They saw him go. And he said, I'm coming back in like manner.
And you know, everything that happened to Jesus was foretold.
That's right.
So they would finally remember when mm-hmm. things happened. They said, well, he told us about this, but we didn't understand. He
That's
told
right.
us about that. We didn't understand.
That's right.
So he always told them what was going to happen.
That's right.
Now, they didn't understand that he was going to give his body by dying for everyone on a cross.
Even though he told them that, he was going to die, didn't he?
Right.
And raised from the dead. He told them that.
And that was his purpose for coming to this
That's
earth.
That's right. Now, we go to verse 63. This is a key verse with this chapter. He says, it is the spirit that quickeneth. That means gives life. The flesh, what? Profiteth nothing. The words. Now, this word words in the Greek is the word rhema. The living words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Wow. So he told them it was going to be about spirit. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of who? My Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Now, this is not the 12, But you know, anybody that followed him was a disciple because he was teaching them all the time.
And you think about that, 5,000 men. That's a big congregation.
Pretty good church, right?
That could be a revival there.
That's right.
You know, 5,000 men plus all these children.
Yeah.
And they were out there sitting on the grass and listening to him. Yeah. And so many of them, like you said, who were following him, they turned away.
They couldn't handle the same. Well, now, verse 67, then said Yeshua unto the 12, will you also go away? He said, are you going to leave me too? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words, here's the word rhema again, thou hast the living words of what? Of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, in other words, the anointed Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Yeshua answered him, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? And he's talking about Judas Iscariot. Amen? So then we go into chapter 7. We see in verse 2, it's talking about we go out 6 months now to the Feast of Tabernacles.
And you wonder why he chose a devil. But he picked
it
them all.
It had to fulfill the scriptures.
It had to fulfill the scriptures. That's right.
That's right.
But he had one of the 12 was a devil. So they all knew that, and yet that man stayed with them for another year until he died, which would have been the next Passover.
Yeah.
Would have been another whole year.
Yeah.
And wonder what they were thinking all that time.
Yeah, you kind
of
wonder.
One of us is a devil. Which one is it? Which one is the devil? So he didn't cast him away because he was the devil, but like you said, he had a purpose.
That's right. Sure did. He had to fulfill everything about it. The Bible says not one bone would be broken of the Messiah. He hung on the cross, and the soldiers were given command by the centurion, whoever it was, the people that were hanging on the cross. There was more than just three out there to go what? Break their legs so they would die sooner. When they come to Yeshua, he had already passed on, so they didn't break one bone in his body. But they did put a spear in his side, didn't they?
Yes.
And what came out?
Well, one
blood
of the
and water.
Two that were there realized he was the Savior, and he asked to be with him.
That's right.
And Jesus said right then and there, you know, you'll be with me.
He didn't say tomorrow. He says today.
Today.
You will be with me in paradise.
And what he confessed him as Lord. And
that's right.
What we have to do is confess Jesus as Lord. He wasn't even baptized at that time.
Nope.
But he confessed him as Lord.
Lord.
But to think that you would be all these 12 disciples, and they knew that one was a devil. That's kind of a scary thing
sure
to think
is.
About,
yeah.
You know?
And he treated him like all the rest of them, didn't he? The Lord treated him just the same as the rest of them. He loved him, he really did. But the scripture had to be fulfilled. But the scripture says that the one who was going to betray him had been better off that he would never been born. But someone had to do it, and that's who it was, who gave him. Now, the most important verse, I think, in John chapter 6 is verse 63. Where it says, it is the spirit that quickeneth, or in other words, it's going to give life. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and what? They are life. So when I read my Bible, I think about the spiritual aspect of it. That's why I have a very powerful prophetic mind. I want to see what God's telling us in the spirit realm. And so this is important to know that. One other place, Paul wrote that in one of his letters, didn't he? What he says, the letter killeth, remember that? The letter killeth, but what? But the spirit what? Produces, gives life.
Yes.
So Jesus said a lot of things that they didn't understand. And we were talking last night, Margie and I and Donna, about the parable that Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 13 about the sower of the seed. That was all a spiritual, all that was a spiritual thing. But they couldn't comprehend it. They were looking at it in the natural. But God's showing us things in the spiritual realm, and he wants us to be in tune to that. You know, we walk in the flesh and all that, and we know this, but the thing is, there's spiritual truths that he wants us to know, and it's all being revealed in the scriptures, so we will not be deceived by anything that the devil may try to bring along. Amen?
Amen.
So in chapter 7, you're going into, even after he said all this, the Jews, he didn't walk in Judea and all those places.
Until the tabernacles.
Until, right.
Because 6 months later.
Even then they were looking to kill him.
Sure.
Even a whole year until, you know, the Passover came that he did die.
That's right.
So all that, a lot of them turned away and they were looking to kill him. It was a plan. They already had plans to kill him.
That's right.
It wasn't something that happened at the spur of the moment during Passover. No, it was something that they dwelt on all that year and they had plans to kill him.
That's right.
The Jews, I'm talking about.
That's right. His own people. Verse 5 there in chapter 7 says, for neither did his brethren believe in him also. They questioned a lot. Well, think about this when you read the book of John. After they walked with him for 3.5 years, saw all the miracles that Yeshua did, and we have a lot of them in the Bible. We don't have all of them, but we have a lot of them. And they still didn't comprehend, didn't believe. And so after the resurrection, they were afraid. They went and hid in a room because they're afraid they were going to die. And there was 8 of them that were going to go back to their old livelihood of fishing or whatever it might have been, you know, tax collecting or whatever, because they didn't understand. Until what? Until he walked through the walls of that room. And they wondered how he got in there, but he walked right through the walls and said, peace be unto you. And he breathed on them. Remember, it says he breathed on them. He blew on them and says, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Well, that wasn't the power of the Holy Ghost. That was when they were born again. That's when things turned around. They began to think another way. And of course, then shortly thereafter, what happened? We came to Acts chapter 2 and all, and he told them to tarry in Jerusalem for those 10 days. And they didn't know what was going to happen. He just said, you're going to be endued with power from on high. And when it came, that turned them upside down. Think about those men. There was only 11 at that time, because Judas had already hung himself and all. But think about it. Those men went out and they turned the world upside down in about 30 years because they had a belief in their heart that only the Holy Ghost could bring. And they all had the same message, the same purpose, the same plan. They didn't care what happened with their life. And if you got a Thompson Chain Bible, you can look in the back. There's a section there about the disciples, and it tells you what history shows with every one of them, how they died, and they died some terrible, terrible deaths. Some of them were skinned alive. Some of them were sawed in two, and some were hung on crosses. They had terrible deaths, all of them, except for John the Apostle, okay? And we read the book of Ephesians. Every time I read the book of Ephesians, I think about the Apostle John, because he was, after all this, you know, the Roman emperor finally released him, and he went back to Ephesus, and he was a leader in the church there for a long time. But we just see all the things that Jesus wants us to know in the Bible. And so the book of John is powerful. Now, I was going to show you one other thing. I'm going to let Margie talk here a little bit. I've been carrying the load here. If we go over to John, we're going to move back to the back of the book. If you look at John 21, the very last verse in that chapter, verse 25, listen to what was written by the Apostle John by the Spirit of God. Verse 24 tells us this. This is the disciple which testifieth of these things. Who's that? John the Apostle. And wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. Now listen to this verse. And there are also many other things which Jesus or Yeshua did, that which, if they would be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen?
Amen.
That's how. So we only have part of it given to us. You know, we only have part of it. But he gave us enough to walk in faith and to trust him. And this is what's so important about it. Amen? All right, Miss Margie, I'm sure you got some wonderful things to talk about. And you might hit on some things we already talked about. But that's all right. It's all right. You know, you don't even remember everything the first time, do you?
Amen.
Remember, we learn line upon line, precept upon precept, a little here and a little there, don't we?
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, I'm going to just say a little bit also,
okay,
about things that are done in the natural and things are done in the spirit.
You got it.
And I'm going to begin at the very first verses.
Okay. In John 6, right?
In of John chapter 6.
Okay.
Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, and a great multitude followed him because they had seen his miracles where he did those things that some of the people were diseased. Jesus healed them.
Healed them, that's right.
Leprosy, blind eyes. Mm-hmm. Limbs. In verse 3, Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples.
Mm-hmm.
And in verse 4, and the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. Perhaps some of the multitude were the ones going to Jerusalem for the feast of the Lord.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Passover is about the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, but also the exodus of God's people through the Red Sea and yes. through the wilderness, how God sustained them and cared for them with bread from heaven.
Yes, Lord.
It was called manna.
Mm-hmm.
Both physically, God cared for them, and spiritually. But the children of Israel didn't believe. They just couldn't believe and trust the God. And in these verses, Jesus is going to sustain the multitude that followed him with food from heaven.
Hallelujah.
Literally and spiritually. These verses that I'm speaking here, he is literally going to feed them with food and spiritual food. In verse 5, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?
Mm-hmm.
He was testing Philip.
That's right.
Jesus knew what miracle he was about to perform.
Sure did, didn't he?
This was a great opportunity to teach his disciples and to the multitude that were sitting there. Jesus had compassion for their physical need.
Yes.
And their spiritual
need.
That's
good, Margie. I like that.
As the multitude had been there all day, and Jesus knew that and had compassion. So this miracle was in several of the Gospels. So I'd like to go to Mark 6.
Okay.
Mark 6, 34.
Same chapter, huh?
The same chapter.
Yeah.
I noticed that.
Mark 6 what? 34?
6, 34 and 35.
Okay. We're with you.
Amen. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them,
mm-hmm.
because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place,
mm-hmm.
and now the time is far past. Jesus does that with us, his children. He loves us and has compassion as we go through our trials and circumstances. He teaches us by his examples.
Thank you, Lord.
In the word, to be overcomers and victorious over our problems and trials. The problems will come, but with faith, we can do all things through Christ.
Hallelujah.
In verses 7 of chapter 6.
We're back in John now?
Yes, John okay. 6.
Okay.
Verse 7. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. The disciples knew there was not enough money to purchase such a large amount of food. Did they know to trust Jesus? Did they know spiritually?
Not really,
that
did
Jesus
they?
Was yeah. going to take yeah. care of this?
That's right.
Amen.
Excuse me.
Mm-hmm. They were about to see a miracle.
That's right.
From heaven. Philip and the disciples were thinking in the natural how to accomplish this need.
That's it.
All the money that was needed, and where were they going to find that much food? Because there were 5,000 people, as so Pastor Gene
that was just
spoke.
The men.
Yeah, not even counting the women and children.
That's right.
They left out one element in their fleshly thinking.
Yeah.
And that was Jesus the Christ. In verse 9, there is a lad here which had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? So they were thinking in the flesh. Today we may do the same thing, thinking in the natural. Mm-hmm. How will we pay our bills and have enough money to eat?
There you go.
How are we going to do this, Father?
Mm-hmm.
We should do what Jesus did. He looked up to heaven, to his Father, and gave thanks.
That's right.
In verse 11, I'll read. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks,
he blessed it, didn't he?
He blessed it.
Yeah.
He looked to his Father. He didn't look to anybody else. He didn't worry about where it was going to come from.
Mm-hmm.
Him and the Father are one. Thank you, Lord. And he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. Our help in times of trouble comes from Yeshua.
That's it.
He wants to meet our needs according to his riches in glory. In verses 22 through 24, the following day, the people followed Jesus and the disciples to Capernaum. They were wondering where Jesus went.
Yep.
So they physically hungered again. They spent all this time looking for him. So again, they were hungry. In verses 25, 26, and 27, and when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, which is Jesus.
When, it's teacher, doesn't it?
Teacher, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled.
So we got a distinction here between the spiritual and the physical realm, don't we, Margie?
Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you, Father. And in 27, labor not for the meat which perisheth. They wandered around and looked for him. They spent all this time looking for Jesus. But for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him that hath God, the Father.
For him
sealed.
Hath God sent, yeah.
Yes, for him hath God the Father sealed. Jesus made a visual picture between material things and spiritual things.
Yes, he did.
They were very impressed at the miracle of the abundant bread and
That's
fish.
Right.
Jesus wanted them to be more impressed for the spiritual things that are brought from heaven. The bread of God is Jesus, Yeshua, who came down from heaven and gave his life. Jesus is the only bread from heaven for spiritual everlasting life.
Thank you, Lord.
In verses 32, then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven.
And he was speaking about himself, wasn't he?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life
unto the world. Wow, boy.
And then they said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Jesus is the soul, what bread is to the body. The people saw the miracle, but focused their attention on filling their tummy.
Yeah.
Not on Jesus. He was seen as a means of filling their stomach. But Jesus wanted them to know the spiritual need, the bread of life everlasting. This bread doesn't rot as it did in the wilderness. It continues forever, mm-hmm. as Jesus is today, dependent on the Father. We also should be totally dependent on Yeshua.
Yes, Lord.
Do not look for the material things to meet our needs. Look to Jesus to meet our daily needs. And Pastor Jean, I also would like to read verse 63 to end. It is so good.
Go ahead.
It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life.
It's good.
Amen. Praise God. You know, I was thinking here while Margie was teaching and Pastor Jean was teaching that about the blood and the bread. So, you know, God even gave them example back in the book of Exodus.
Sure did.
And even in the Garden of Eden, when they had to kill the animal and they had to do what they had to do because of the sin.
Right.
So they even knew that in the very beginning that it was the blood that cleansed them from their sin. So God had even given them a picture, an example, what would happen at the Passover.
Real pattern,
talking
wasn't
about
it? Yeah.
The pattern in Exodus.
Mm-hmm.
Because they had to, gave them exactly what would happen. They had to examine the animal that was the lamb or the, and for 4 days, and you know, they had it tied up by their house, and you know, I imagine the children saw this animal and loved this animal, but it was to protect them from death. It was to keep them so they could be alive, and they had to kill the animal on Passover.
Yes.
Same time Yeshua died, and they were told to eat all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Jesus said about eating, he was the bread, and to eat all of him, to take all of him.
That's good.
So they had a visual picture of it. They knew about it, so you know, but they just couldn't tie it together, I don't believe, until after it happened. And then they had the revelation when Yeshua rose from the grave, and you know, and he spent those times with him, those 40 days, teaching them about, mostly about the kingdom of God
right.
and the kingdom of heaven. But you go back and you look at the Passover, they were to apply the blood to the door because there was going to be a death angel come through, and anyone who wasn't in the house would die.
That's right.
And so they were not to be in the street. I mean, if somebody was out in the street, they would not live. They had to go into the house.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the Hebrew letters, the second letter is the Beit, and it represents a house. So they and that represents Yeshua. He's the house. We need to be in the house of God. And so if they weren't in the house, they would die. So they had to apply that blood. So they knew that that blood brought them life.
Yep.
If they were outside the house, they would die. And Jesus talked about this in John chapter 6, not exactly about what happened, but they knew about it because every single Passover, they had to bring the lamb and tie the lamb to the altar and examine the lamb. And on the Passover, that lamb would die. And you know, then and the priest would say, it is finished. Well, Yeshua is the Lamb of God. And he was died exactly. He came into Jerusalem 4 days before. He was examined. Some of the hardest things that they asked him during that time.
He was really tested, wasn't he?
Tested. And he actually died at the same time that lamb's throat was cut.
In the temple.
And what did Jesus say?
It is finished.
So there's his body, there's his blood that we've talked about, that talks about here in John chapter 6, where he says, this is the bread which came down from heaven. He's that bread, not the manna, but he's the bread that came down from heaven that would give eternal life. Because those in the wilderness, they all died, didn't they? He said that. He says, it's not your father that did eat manna, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread, speaking of his body, shall live forever. So at that time, they had a difficult time understanding them. And, you know, many of the Jews fell away. Many of those that were following him, they left him.
Yeah.
And many of the Jews at that time, even a whole year before the Passover came where he would die, they were trying to kill him. They were planning his death, and not knowing that he was the Messiah, but planning his death because he claimed to be God and the Son of God, and he claimed to be that he's the one that had only seen the Father. He told them that he had seen the Father. They had, no one else had seen the Father, but it was he that came down.
Amen.
And had seen the Father. So praise the Lord.
Yes.
Did you have something else to say?
Yeah, I was just going to mention here, we're about ready to close here. I always like to give people an opportunity to receive the Messiah in their life. I was looking at John chapter 20, verse 29. You know, Thomas wasn't there when he came into that room that day. And 8 days later, he came back, and all these things happened, and he put his hand into Jesus' side and all that. And then he called him Lord. But I like what verse 29 says. Yeshua saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. None of us have seen. I've never seen Yeshua in his body at all. I haven't seen him. I've never had that kind of a vision at all. Maybe somebody has, but I haven't. So we believe even though we don't see him, but we know what he did. We have this marvelous book here, the Bible, and it's got all the answers, and it shows you that without him, you have no life. And he made it quite clear in John chapter 6 that he was the way, the truth, and life, in chapter 14 even. And so without him, you will have no eternal life. So is it more important to live right now, these days and years that you're in now? If it's 50, 60, 100 years, is that anything at all? It's nothing. But when you come to him, think about it, it's going to be eternity. It's infinity. It's going to go on forever, and you'll be in the presence of God. And so I want you all to know and understand you need to be in the first resurrection, not the second. The second resurrection is unto death, separation from God. And my heart is that everyone would come to the Messiah, to Yeshua. He's the only way. He's the way, the truth, and life. No one cometh to the Father except by him. My desire is that you would all come and know him. And that's his desire as well. And so all you have to do is ask. Ask and you shall receive. Only believe. You may not see like Thomas didn't see, but he finally realized that Yeshua truly was his Savior. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, this is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton. And we just bless you, and we thank the Lord for you. And we could use some finances if the Lord lays it on your heart to give $5, $10, $20, whatever. And you can give us a call, or you can mail it to Spirit of Prophecy, Post Office 413, Stuart, Florida 34995. We just thank the Lord for you, and we just want to tell you to get in your Bible, go to church.
Hallelujah.
Be born again. You can do it. Just ask the Lord Jesus to come into your heart. Amen. And start reading the book of John, and just follow the Lord, and call somebody, talk to people, share about the gospel. Amen. So we're just blessed to be here on WCNO every Saturday, Lord willing, from noon to 2 o'clock. We have Shabbat this afternoon at 2 p.m. at the Osceola Church on the Alliance Church.
I think about the Oasis Church.
Yes, right. So God bless you all. We want to say Shabbat Shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
It's already cut off before that. So.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that he is the Spirit of Prophecy.